I don't know if you were able to see down here. It's good to have Lydia and the kids back in town, especially the grandkids. Always good to have the grandkids. But Martha and Judy, not seen each other for a while. And you notice that they couldn't leave the auditorium until they hugged each other. And just sort of, you know, that's Christian fellowship right there. Okay. I also appreciated the song the choir shared with us, Firmly Committed. My prayer is that all of us will be firmly committed for life. But what I really like about that song is that it talks about being firmly committed, us being committed to the Lord. But did you notice at the end, there are the words, I surrender. I surrender all. And what we need to understand about commitment, that commitment is not commitment until you surrender all. I'm afraid a lot of us have this idea that we're committed, but we haven't surrendered all to the Lord. And sometimes we wonder why our lives are incomplete. Sometimes we wonder why God can't do more with us. And I believe it's an issue of surrender. Because true commitment leads to surrender, where you just say, I surrender all to you. And we're going to be talking about that in our message this morning a little bit more. Psalms 46, a new year, a new opportunity to live for the Lord, a beginning again type thing. It's always good to have something going on in our lives where we can begin again. We can just sort of say goodbye to the past and hello to the future and come before God and say, God, you help me to be committed to you in the future like I may not have been in the past, but Father, whatever you were doing in the past that was good for me, continue to do in the future. Lead me, guide me. I want to continue to be your servant. Coming into 2024. I hope that you have that desire in your life. And then over the next few Sundays, we're going to be talking about one of the things that we need to realize about 2024 if we're going to have a successful new year, if the God's going to really be able to use us and work through us. One of the things that we need to understand is that we can't go very far with God if our life is all filled up with fear. And all filled up with being afraid of what's about to happen. Our life can't go far if it's filled with bitterness because of the past. Life cannot go very far with us if we are constantly living, looking into the rearview mirror instead of looking through the windshield of what God has for us and what God has coming for us. And so this morning, I want to begin a series of sermons on God is still here. Just because we started a new year doesn't mean that God's not here anymore. The same God that was with us in 2023 continues to be with us in 2024. The same God that was powerful in 2023 is powerful in 2024. Same God that was all wise knows everything that's going on. The same God that wasn't surprised by anything you experienced in 2023 is the same God that will not be surprised by anything you experience in 2024. And we need to realize that and understand that. And I think there's a message in Psalms 46 that we need to apply right here today at the beginning of this new year. As we look at 2024, we don't apply what the psalmist is saying here in a vacuum. And he doesn't expect us to. The psalmist here in Psalm 46, did you notice some of the scenarios that he talked about here? They're pretty frightening scenarios. They're just pretty frightening things to think about. And the psalmist is mentioning them here in this psalm. Notice in verse 2, after he says, "Therefore we will not be afraid, though what? Though the earth trembles." We had some earthquakes this past couple of weeks in the world. The earth is trembling, literally trembling physically. I think the earth is trembling in a lot of other ways, but just looking at the earthquakes just lets us know that we live in a very unsettled world. 2024 is going to be a trembling type of year. 2023 was, and 24 will be too. Psalmist also says the mountains topple, they cave in, they crumble. Those mountains that we thought were so secure, they give way. Are there some things in your life in 2024 that you think are just rock solid? They're like the mountains. They will always be there. They'll always be there to be enjoyed. What we need to understand about our world is that we're walking into a world today and in our time where the things we used to count on to always be there may not always be there. The things we thought we could always count on, the things that were part of our safety net and may not always be there. If the mountains topple, what else can topple in our lives? Don't trust in the mountains. Don't trust in what we already have. You're going to have to trust in God. He's the one that gets us through when the earth trembles and the mountains topple. When the depths of the and they go into the depths of the sea and the water roars and foams and the earthquakes come and the turmoil rises. Have I got you encouraged yet? But then he goes in verse 6. He talks about how the earth is so unsteady, but he talks about how the political structures of the day, the countries, the culture, the society is out of whack as well. He says, nations rage. We can only look at the Middle East and see what that means. Or to look at Ukraine and see what that means. Or look at just about any place in Africa where communism seems to be trying to take a toehold. We look at our world and we realize that we live in a world where nations are raging at each other, raging within each other. Kingdoms topple. If you look at a world map 20 years ago, you see nations that weren't there before. You see some nations that you thought would always be there, they no longer exist. Nations do topple. They go out of existence. The earth melts when he lifts up his voice. Wow. I think we need to understand that we live in a world in 2024 that have a lot of frightening scenarios for us. The first frightening scenario we have coming is the presidential election. We need to be good citizens. We need to plan to vote. We need to be educated voters. We need to vote our values. We need to stand up for what is right and stand up for God. We need to stand up for life. But are any of us looking forward to what a presidential election might mean for our nation? We have lost our collective minds. What we used to take for granted about democracy is no longer there for us to take for granted any longer. There are wars around us. And the thing about it is, the two primary wars that are around us are devastating enough, but everybody's talking about how they're going to expand and how they're going to last for a long time. And it just seems like they're going to go on forever and ever. We're in the midst of government upheaval. We no longer trust each other in government or outside of government. We have millions of immigrants that are pouring over our borders for whatever reason. Some are coming because the situation in their country is not good at all, and some are coming so that they can make sure they can make our situation in our country not good at all. We have millions of immigrants coming and pouring over our border. We have a justice system that is broken. We have a safety net that no longer provides safety. We have the threat of pandemics. We're being told what kind of stoves to cook on and what kind of light bulbs to buy and what kind of cars we're going to drive. We're also being told every time we go to the grocery store that it's getting harder and harder for us to provide for our basic needs. We live in a world like that. I think the psalmist could identify with where we are. I think we can identify with where the psalmist is. But the psalmist in this psalm, one of the main phrases, one of the main things he says is, we do not have to be afraid. Well, I'm glad. But there are some reasons in this psalm that we can point to that helps us to see why we don't have to be afraid. And I want you to see those. And I think I'm praying that this will be a foundation that we can sort of lay this morning for 2024, where we can look at everything God might be doing in our future, in our lives, and we can use these four things as foundational to how we can relate to what might be going on, and so that we can look at what's going on and not have to be filled with fear or to let fear dictate our actions or what we do, but we'll discover that because of these truths, faith will dictate what we do. Our relationship with God will dictate what we do. So as we look at this psalm, the first thing that the psalmist tells us why we don't have to fear is that in verse 1, he says that God is our refuge and our strength and our helper. You see, what we need to understand is that we don't have to fear what's coming in our world and what we might face in the future because God is who He is. Notice that the first verse, the psalmist says, God is. I'm so glad he didn't say God was. He's not talking about God in the past tense. He's talking about God in the present tense. Listen, if your God is not big enough, and if your God is not real enough, that you understand He is with you right now, He is. No matter what you might be facing, no matter what kind of situation might be bearing down on you this morning, no matter how you might feel, if your God isn't, then you have a big problem. You see, what the psalmist understood is that God was with him right then and there. And this morning, what we need to understand about a new year is God is with us right here and now. God is. We can touch Him, we can talk to Him, we can pray to Him, we can tell Him what our problems are. He is concerned about us, and He's with us right here and now. God is our refuge. Sometimes there are situations in our life where we just need to run to God as being our mighty fortress. We need to continue to understand that no matter what's bearing down on us and no matter what the threats are around us, we know that God is a mighty fortress that we can run to, and He offers us protection. And what the psalmist is saying here and what he's saying to us today is no matter what might be going on in your life and no matter what you may be facing, you need to understand that you don't have to be afraid because God is divinely protecting you in whatever situation you find yourself in. He protects. He is our refuge. He is our strength. And He's our helper in every trouble. Every trouble. There's never a trouble that you're going to experience in your life where God's going to come up to you and say, well, yeah, I'm sort of tired of dealing with troubles. I'll let you handle that. I'll see you later. No, the psalmist said, God is a helper, an ever-present helper in every trouble. I don't know what the troubles might be in your life this morning, but I can guarantee you this. God stands ready to help you where you are. Now, God doesn't always stand ready to help you the way He wants, the way you want Him to help you, because He knows that if He helps you the way you want Him to help you, it would destroy you, or it wouldn't be good for you. But God stands ready to help you for your good. Even though you may not be able to see your good right now, He stands ready to help you for your good. And you can trust that in God. You can trust God to always do what is good for you. He is our refuge. He is our strength. And He is our helper. And we do not have to be afraid, no matter what the frightening scenarios might be around us. We can trust in Him. And notice in verse 4, he points out another reason why we don't have to fear. And he does it by giving us a picture. Some of us do better by seeing pictures. And here the psalmist is picturing a river and a city. And it's a river flowing through this city. It's the same kind of picture that we see in Revelations. In about chapter 22, where the river of life is described in the New Jerusalem. A river, when the Bible talks about a river like this, it's always a metaphor, it's always an illustration, it's always a picture of God's presence. And when the psalmist here is talking about this river that is streaming through the city of God, through the holy place where the Most High dwells, and the fact that God is within her, what he's saying is, God is present. And what he's saying is, we don't have to be afraid, not only because he divinely protects us, but also because God is always with us. It's like that river that runs through the city of God. It's his showing us that that's his dwelling place, and he is always with us. He is present with us. In another psalm, in Psalm 139, he talked about how God is in our getting up and our laying down, and God is in the darkest places as well as the places where there is light. God never leaves us. He never forsakes us. He's always with us. God is always there. It's about the same thing, but not the picture of the river. And the psalmist here is saying to us, we can depend on the presence of God this year like we can any year. And God has promised never to leave us or to forsake us. There's a river running through our lives, and it's the river, the presence of God. And we can depend on that and understand that and know that. He will never desert us. We don't have to be afraid because God offers us divine protection, our refuge, our stronghold, ever-present help in the time of trouble, and He is always present like the river. Though our political systems can fail and our justice systems can collapse and our economy can fall, and wars can rage and safety is threatened, life falls into turmoil, God is here. God is with us. And God continues to be our refuge. And we don't have to fear. But there's another thing that we need to do as we walk through 2024. And this may be one of the most important things we need to do. We need to realize that God's presence is with us, and we need to realize that God's divine protection is for us, But we also need to come and see the works of the Lord. In fact, in verse 8, the psalmist says, come see the works of the Lord. Now, why is that so important? It's because it verifies the first two things. You know, it helps us to verify that God is there because we see Him working in our life. It helps us to verify that God is our refuge because He is present and He is there. We need to understand that when we come to the presence of God and we see the work that He's done in our life over the years, it just verifies the fact that God is with us and God protects us. Notice what he said about the works of the Lord. He said, the Lord brings devastation on the earth. He makes war cease throughout the earth. He shatters bows and he cuts spears to pieces and he sets wagons ablaze. What in the world is the psalmist trying to say here? Well, to understand what the psalmist is trying to say here, you have to understand the background of this psalm. This psalm was written, we're not sure who wrote it, but we're pretty sure when it was written. It was written in the time of Isaiah. It was written around the time that the king of Assyria was conquering Israel and had plans to move on to Judah next. And this was a psalm that was written to Judah. And the psalmist wrote this to Judah because they were in the midst of a very fearful situation. Hezekiah was king of Judah. And the king of Assyria had already conquered Israel, had taken many of them captive back to Assyria, had started replacing people to live in Israel so that they would be loyal to him. And now the king of Assyria was saying, Judah, you're next. Hezekiah was in trouble. And the people of Judah was in trouble. And the king of Assyria, as he always does, gathers his troops around the city and begins to lay siege to Jerusalem. Hezekiah has nowhere to turn. He doesn't know what to do. But the king of Assyria knows what to do. And the first thing he does is he sends some messengers into the city to invite King Hezekiah to surrender. And as he's talking to King Hezekiah's advisors, they talk to them in the city square, in the forum where everybody could listen. And they're saying to the advisors and they're saying to everybody who can listen, hey, look, no one has ever defeated the king of Assyria. In fact, God is coming, Assyria is coming to conquer Judah because God told him to. And God is going to give him the power to. And really, you have no hope because God's not going to turn us away. God's going to give us the victory. You're done for. Why don't you just surrender and we'll make it easy on you? The advisors went in and told Hezekiah what they'd heard. And Hezekiah went in before the Lord, spread his arms out, and began to beg God for deliverance. That's all he had. This psalm was written in about that time. That time of desperation, that time where there didn't seem to be any hope, that time when the refuge, Jerusalem, was about to collapse. And all Hezekiah could do was just go throw himself before God and say, God, I need you to rescue us. I have nowhere else to turn. And the scripture tells us that an angel of the Lord, sometime after that, went to King of Assyria's troops that were outside the city wall laying siege. And that night, 185,000 of his soldiers perished. They just died. And by the next morning, the king of Assyria and everybody else who was left had left. And God had delivered them. And I think this is what the psalmist is saying here. Come see the works of God, who brings devastation on the earth, who makes wars cease throughout the earth, and he shatters bows, and he cuts spears to pieces, and he sets wagons ablaze. What the psalmist is saying is that when it really comes down to it, what we need to understand is we don't have to fear what is out there. We don't have to fear all the threats that are around us, because God is more powerful than the threats. And if we'll throw ourselves upon God's mercy, God will deliver us. And that's what he did for the nation of Israel. And we need to understand that no matter how many atomic bombs we may have in our arsenal, and no matter how many people we have in our armed services, none of that will help us if God is not for us. But even if we don't have any of those things, because we have God, God is enough. I think that's what the psalmist is trying to help us to understand about not only 2024, but about any year that we might be living through, is that God is enough. And he ends this section by talking about how God, who does all of this, and he comes to this conclusion, and this is a good conclusion for us for 2024. Be still. Really, that be still comes from a Hebrew word that can also mean quit fighting. And know that I am God. You know, there are times that I've read that just out of context, just someone putting it on maybe Facebook or just writing it out. There's been times I've looked at that and I've said, be still and know that I am God. And I have to admit to you that sometimes I've read that and I thought, man, that sounds boring. Because, you know, I'm a fixer. God, show me what to do. Don't tell me not to do anything. Show me what to do. Help me to know how to fix this. And yet here, the psalmist is saying, the thing we need to do is come into God's presence and just be still. Stop fighting. And just know that he is God. You know what I think the psalmist is saying? There are times in our lives and there are certain situations and circumstances that we face that we just have to decide, I may not have the answer and I may not know what to do, but I do know the thing I need to do most is to let God be God. That's what the psalmist was saying, I think. Listen, no matter what you're facing, try being still. Put the boxing gloves off. Quit trying to fight it. Let God be God. Isn't that what Isaiah, isn't that what Hezekiah did that day when he went into God's presence and said, God, I don't know what I'm going to do. The king of Syria is telling all my people to surrender. They have no hope. I look at things frankly and I don't see that I have any hope either, but God, please deliver me. What was he doing? He was saying, God, you're going to have to be God if this is going to be any different. I can't do anything about it. There's some things in your life today. There are some things going on in your heart and life today where you understand there's not a thing you can do about that situation. You can't reach into a person's heart and life and change it. Only God can. And so you're on the outside and you're understanding there's not anything I can do. And God is saying, yes, there is. You can be still. Understand that I'm God. Surrender it to me and just let me be God in the situation. And trust me that I will do what is right. Be still and know that I am God. Are there some situations in your life where you understand, you know, that's all I have? I've run out of all the fix-its. I'm at the end of myself. All I can do is say, God, you be God. If it means sending an angel to win the victory, then do that. If it means doing something, just something that I can't even dream of, then do that. But I'm going to settle on this one thing, that you are the God of my life and you occupy the center of my life, and I surrender myself to you. Be still and know that I'm God. The psalmist said, God's going to be exalted in the universe and on the earth. God is going to be exalted. The Lord of armies is with us. The God of Jacob is our stronghold. We can rely on that. Let's start 2024 from that perspective. There's some things in your life that you just need to let go of and say, okay, God, I'm going to let you take care of that. And I'm going to let you be God. And I'm not going to try to fix it. Now, I don't know about you, but sometimes I say, but God, I would appreciate it if you'd let me have a little bit in it. Isn't that the way we are sometimes? God, you fix it. I'll be still and know that you're in charge and I'm not. That's the way to get through 2024 without fear. And that's something that we need to ask God to help us to do. Next Sunday, we're going to talk about how God is still here and He is still sovereign. And He still works. And we rely on that. Let's pray together. Father, I pray this morning as we come to this time, as we close with a song, and as you deal in people's hearts and lives about where they are with you, I pray, Father, if there's someone here who just needs to make some kind of decision for you, we know that not all decisions need to be made publicly, but some do. And Father, if that person needs to make a decision today publicly, I pray that they would seek out an elder or myself to talk to me after church or here at the front as we sing, that you would just work in their life to do that. And Father, I pray that you would help us as we look toward 2024 just to surrender our lives to you and allow you to use us for your glory in 24. So, Father, work in our lives, work in this time, and we ask this in the name of Jesus. Amen.